I want to go to the book of John. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 3. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'd like to stop for just a minute and say something right here. What the Lord is saying here is humanity, with everything we've got going for us, is not sufficient to get us to the place where we can see the things of God. Everything that man is has to be put away in some way in order to get through the barrier between humanity and divinity. There is no way to cross over in our flesh or in our humanity, in our mortality. Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you don't get yourself born over, you can't see this. Because humanity can't see this. That's why it's useless for people to study so hard without the Spirit of truth guiding and leading along the way, because much study is awareness of the flesh, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the things of God. No man can see these things. Only through spiritual enlightenment can we find the things of God. And that can only happen through new birth. I'll continue on. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's man's understanding. See, right here is proof. He doesn't see what Jesus is saying. But Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and spirit, of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You must be born again. Now, if Jesus is who the Bible declares He is, then we must be born again. Because this is God speaking. This isn't just an ordinary man. This is God speaking. You must be born again. Now, this isn't a rule written on a big blackboard saying, keep this rule. But it needs to become our rule if we expect to be able to make it. God is not writing rules up here and say, you either do this or I'm going to get you. But He has given the awareness to the entire human race for centuries that disobedience to God, it's simply not allowing God to change your life. Not believing the Word of God. Not receiving the things of God. Not allowing the Lord Jesus to speak to your longing soul that is wanting to hear from God. God made us a longing creature that wants to know Him. And no matter what we say, no matter how we act, no matter how it seems otherwise by the things we do. You can't fool God. God knows that you want to know God. Because He put that in every human being. There is a longing that causes people to search for God. No matter what race and no matter what age you live in, something inside of you makes you search for something higher. Because anything has to be better than this that we're going through. There has to be something better than this out there. Man reaches for the stars, man tries this, man tries that. And the answer is all the time right before us. It's God with an outstretched arm saying, "Come unto me." And there's something inside of us that wants that, but we want some kind of proof. We want some kind of proof. We need something more than just the Word of God. But do we really need any more than just the Word of God? We just think we need more than the Word of God. But if we can accept it, if we can receive it, He gives to those who can believe and receive the things of God the power to become sons of God. That means a creature that can see the kingdom of God. A creature that can enter into the kingdom of God. We have the power if we can believe and receive the things of God. Even to those that believe on His name, which were born not of flesh, although we were. But He's talking about a higher order now. We have escaped this and we've been born again. Amen. Because we have gone beyond what natural things can give us and have reached into the spiritual. And except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I've heard people explain this. Well, you have to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Then you have to be born again of the water and the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. But in reality, what Jesus is saying here is the same thing. He's just repeating it with more emphasis a second time. Because either way you get born again, it's the same way. There's no two different kinds of born again. There's a big argument over, you know, remission of sins. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." There are some people that try to explain remission of sins away. But it's just as it says it is. Repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sin. There are some who try to debate on, well, when is that exactly is the blood of Christ applied in this process? Is it at believing? Is it at repentance? Is it at baptism? And that argument has been going on for centuries. Because people try to figure all this out and they come up with various answers. But the answer is the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. And it's applied to your life every time you act out in obedience to God. And part of that application comes with believing and trusting. And repentance, and with baptism. But it's only through the blood of Jesus that we can find the mercy and grace to be able to believe on Him and receive from Him and obey Him and submit to Him and go down into the waters of baptism in His name. It's only through His grace and mercy and the blood that was shed. So the blood of Christ is applied every time we can receive something from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether it be healing, revelation, a new awareness, a new dedication in our life, we don't need to get hung up on the argument. When are we really saved? Is it at believing? Is it at repentance? Is it at baptism? Jesus, as somebody has already mentioned tonight, will be the final judge of all that. But there are some things that are clearly written, and if we can receive it at face value, and just go forward and let God be God, He will save us. He will rescue us. He will change us. We will have a new birth experience. We won't be the same anymore. Old things will have passed away. All things will have become new. Amen. That which was yesterday will be something that's under the blood. The sins of the past are washed away. Amen. Because only God can wash sin out of our lives. Only God can take a creature that cannot see and make him see. Only God can take a creature that cannot enter and cause him to be able to enter. Hallelujah. 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 So what is this remission of sins spoken about in Acts 2:38? Well, you go down to Sears and you buy yourself something on the credit. Amen. They will give you a payment plan to pay for this. And you start out making your payments. And every month, you may sometimes find yourself struggling to make those payments. And if you get a little bit behind, they will send you a notice about that. And they will tell you, you need to make that payment. If you get a little bit further behind, they will send you a stronger notice about that. And you really need to make that payment. And after a while, you really, really, really need to make that payment. And then you make the payment. And you're forgiven. And you're able to keep making the payments. Although there may be a little bit of problem if you want to buy something else till you prove yourself for a while. Remission goes way beyond that. Amen. Remission is, it's paid off. It's settled and you don't owe anything. It's gone. The bill's paid in full. Hallelujah. There's no more getting behind. Jesus paid it all. When you repent and get baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, the debt that you owed that you couldn't pay has been settled forever in heaven if you'll keep walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. Remission of sins is paid in full. Clap your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to get that bill at Sears remitted, if you want remission of your bill, pay it off. If you want forgiveness, pay on it. Repentance and baptism of sin is beyond forgiveness. It's remission. Let's thank Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So a man must be born again in order to even comprehend or see the kingdom of God. Must be born again of the water and spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Or to be aware that He's living in a new existence, in a new order. Amen. Nicodemus couldn't understand it. How can this happen? Because he was understanding as man understands. Born again, to us, that means got to be born over. And that's true. But the truth of the matter is, I hear people saying, well, we made a baby. But did you? Without God's help, and without God being involved somewhere, I don't care how much you think you've made a human being, you're not going to do it without God. God is involved. I don't care how deep the sin. When a human life is being brought forth, God is involved. We may be shaping in iniquity, but no life comes forth without God's presence being there. Every little child that cries for the first time, no matter what dad, mom, grandpa, grandma, or all the family, or whatever caused the child to come forth, as soon as that child opens his eyes and opens that mouth, starts crying, God's standing there saying, I love this child, and I'm going to be here for this child for the rest of its days. God does not hold any past sins of parents against a baby. Now it's this child's new chance to start. And as that baby grows and becomes older, he starts making choices. And God, when he sees that little child, that little boy, that little girl, say, I love you, Jesus. God hears that. When they go up to the altar, when some touching message has touched their heart and they want to serve God, and they're now a teenager, and they come forward, God doesn't remember the past sins of all the former ones that were there in the life before. He just looks at that child. That child, that teenage boy, that teenage girl, and says, it's just you and me. And if you want me, you have an equal opportunity to every human being on the face of the earth. You can be just as much a child of God as anybody can. There is no prejudice with God. There's no biased attitude with God. It's just whosoever will may come. Amen. And so the child gets on up into adulthood. A lot of things have happened. Problems at school, problems at home, problems on the job, married life, all kinds of crazy things going on. And still he hasn't quite given in, but all this time God's been there from the very beginning, from that first breath to say, I'm going to watch after you. And if you call on me, I'll be here. If you want me, I will respond. If you seek for me, you'll find me. If you trust in me, I will prove myself to be trustworthy. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through now that you're middle aged and you haven't turned your life over to God yet. I still want you. I'm still here for you. I'm still reaching for you. I will still help you if you will allow me to. And something in your soul says, oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. And finally, somehow somebody gets through with a piercing message of conviction. And that elderly person may finally say, yes, I surrender. And the mercy of God, no matter if you're 90 years old, says, and I will give you what I promised you when you were young. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Go get yourself baptized and you're going to be a new creature. Hallelujah. You're going to be a new creature. Doesn't matter when you give in. It's the same with God. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Age makes no difference. Race makes no difference. Background makes no difference. But God makes a big difference. Thank Him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How can these things be? Well, you're a master in Israel and you don't know these things, Nicodemus, Jesus asked. And verily I say unto you, he said, we speak that we know and testify that we have seen. And you don't receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now he's talking about himself right here. But he's standing there with Nicodemus, talking about the Son of Man, and says he's in heaven. If you think about this real carnally, as Nicodemus was thinking on this particular occasion, it's just as mysterious to hear a man say, I'm here and there at the same time. You got to be born again in order to see and in order to enter. And the Son of Man is in heaven. Well, who are you, the Son of Man? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But if I told you earthly things, you didn't believe them. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The same Son of Man said later, I and my Father are one. The same Son of Man said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, if you want to understand this, first you need to be able to see the kingdom. You may not understand. That's why it's almost useless to preach Acts 2:38 on the media or on the internet, although we do, because there are levels of people out there, and some of them have had a touch of God at believing or at repentance, and God is bringing them forward. But most of the crowd out there, they need to hear more about love and mercy and care and how God will help you if you will let Him, because they don't understand the things of God. You can show them Acts 2:38, put your finger on it, have them to read it out loud, and when they get through, they'll say, I don't see this. Right. They don't see it. Why? Because they're not born yet of the water and of the Spirit. But once by faith you start out, I don't care what part of the blood application is involved here, if you believe with all your heart and in your heart and really do confess with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus is my King of Kings. Jesus is the one I'm going to live for. I confess it and I believe it. I'm going to give my life to God. Well, you can say what you want to, but you're going to have the attention of God. And at that point, when you start there, God will help you keep going. He gives you strength. He gives you understanding. He gives you wisdom. He opens up some things that only the people that are born again can see. But don't stop there, because there's more to being born again than just being hung up in mama's womb.
Right.
Hallelujah. There has to be a conceiving. There has to be a time of growth. There has to be a time of nourishment. But God brings it forth when everything is done properly, and there has to be water involved. There has to be some process involved. We need to go on past the believing. I mean, any mama can look down and say, I do believe. I do believe. I do believe. And ask the baby, do you believe? And hear that little, feel that little kicking going on down there. But we've got to get past believing. There has to be a bringing forth involved here. There needs to be a physician somewhere along the line saying, oh, it's just, come on now, push just a little bit more. Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. What's happening? Baptism in the name of Jesus, accompanied with repentance. The baby's born! The Holy Ghost, la 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 la, goo 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 goo, da da da! What is this? A child of God. Born again of the water and of the Spirit. Who's the mama? Her name is Church. Who's the daddy? His name is Jesus. And Jesus in His church has brought forth His child. Praise Him right now. Hallelujah. When Zion hath travailed, she bringeth forth sons and daughters. That's talking about the church of the living God. When the people of God travail, when the people of God go after the people who need to be born, when the people of God get down and pray and seek after God, Zion travails. That's why we get around the altar sometimes and say, come on now, come on now, just keep on now, come on, you're just about to get there, come on, you're going to make it. After a while, you see the baby coming forth, you see a hand, you see a foot, you see a smile, you see something happening that only God can bring forth. Thank you, Jesus. And mama gets happy. Mama gets happy. Angels get happy. There's presence in the angels' midst that gets happy. And His name is Jesus. Rejoicing in the presence of angels. Not just angels rejoicing, but rejoicing in the presence of angels. Hallelujah. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so many people have wanted this to read shall not perish that even some of the revised versions of the Bible have got that in its place now. Because there's been enough people who have settled for the fact that John 3:16 is all there is to the plan of salvation that they have even written new Bibles and replaced the word should with shall. And they read it that way. Even when they read out of the King James Bible, they don't like to read the word should. They like to read shall. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. Why, you see there, that means if you just believe on Him, you're saved. There's a reason why the word should is in that verse. But see, that seems to point to something that we have to do. And man tends to be a little lazy. People, they want to say God did it all. There's nothing for us to do. Well, if there's nothing for us to do, what did God mean when He told us to repent? Is repenting doing something? Or is it just, does God repent for us? I can just see poor old God up there saying, forgive me of my sins.
Poor old Jesus kneeling before the Father, forgive me for all my sins. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner.
No, it doesn't happen that way. The sinner repents. The sinner repents. This is something God has allowed us to do. And it's harder work to repent than it is to get baptized. You want to talk about works? You're not saved by works? I know that. No man can boast. We can't save ourselves. All the repenting in the world won't cause a man to be able to save a man or a woman. But God told us to repent. And so through repentance and believing on Him, He brings us through.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's, like I said, harder work to repent than it is to go get baptized. Anybody can get in water, but not just anybody can repent. There's a lot of pride involved here. There's a lot of ego involved here. There's a lot of hang-ups involved here. There's a lot of sin involved here. There are a lot of problems that we're dealing with and trying to cope with involved here. And He's asking us to repent. I mean, that's why a lot of people go get baptized and they're still having to work on this repentance part. Repentance is difficult. You don't just say, I'm sorry, and that takes care of it. But it's godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. It's a work of God involved here, and there has to be something down deep that really means it. I really do want to turn from my wicked ways. I really do want to change. I can't change myself. Only You can help me, God. And somewhere in that process, godly sorrow gets involved. And godly sorrow worketh repentance. God knows when we meet the mark of repentance. Hallelujah. But when we get there, oh, what a change. See, some people that get baptized, they go right back, right straight out of the waters of baptism, right into the same sins they've been committing, the same day they get baptized. But one that has repented before he got baptized has stopped all that stuff, and he goes into the water, and it's just another step of something they've already quit doing. No more telling those lies, because that stopped even before they got in the water. Baptism does not keep you from lying, but repentance does. Hallelujah! The repentance changes all this. Baptism is a burial of all that debris, you know. Okay, I killed the lying, I killed the stealing, I killed the gossiping, the backbiting, and it's all still laying out here like dead people. Now what are we going to do with it? We're going to bury it. So I'm getting in that water in the name of Jesus. And all that stuff I repented of, hallelujah, according to the Word of God, when I come out of this water, I'm a new creature walking a new life, and I'm born again.
Glory.
Then comes the argument. Well, what if they haven't received the Holy Ghost? Well, didn't God say, if you repent and be baptized, I'll give you the Holy Ghost? So who's to say they haven't received it just because you haven't witnessed it yet? Give them some time. Give them some time. But look, if you're seeking for it, don't settle on anything less than all that God's got available for you. Hallelujah. But if you've got a lot and somebody in your opinion doesn't have what you have, don't you become a judge and say they don't have it because they might just pass you up like a 100-mile-an-hour car while you're driving 20 miles an hour and get out in front of you and say what's holding you back. Because God can accelerate those that can be accelerated. I mean, anybody that wants to can take the 10 talents. Or anybody that wants to can take one and bury it. Praise God. God gives to everybody anything you want. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and you shall be, the door will be opened to you. Who's he talking to? Anybody.
Anybody.
You want to be spiritual? Be spiritual then. You want to be close to God? Be close to God then. Hallelujah. He made it possible that anybody and everybody can be born again. If you want to. And you can see. You can see. And you can hear. Because you have ears to hear. A lot of people go through life and hear these scriptures. Let him that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let him that has an ear, hear what the Spirit has to the church. What does he mean by that? And instead of trying to really dig it out and find out what he's talking about, they just scratch their head and say, I think, I guess that's just a mystery. I can't understand. I got ears. Yeah, you do, but we're not talking about those ears. Those ears hear the wrong thing sometimes. We're talking about ears that hear the right stuff that comes from God. If any man has ears, where do you get those ears? Well, where does any new child get ears? Except a man be born again, he cannot hear, he cannot see, he cannot feel, he cannot sense the things of God. Hallelujah. But once you start the process of the new birth, you start hearing. I don't know if a baby before it comes out of the mother's womb hears, but I've talked to a few. I've talked to them while they were still there, and I said, when you come out, I want you to mark my words. You be quiet in church. Some of the mamas here, I've talked to your babies before they were born, but I don't think they heard me. Or if they did, they disobeyed me. Or either they didn't understand me. Because not one of them has been quiet in church. But I made them another promise. When you get a little older, I'm going to have a talk with you. Because I know you're not going to do what I'm telling you to do. And it's all just fun and games. I'm just playing when I do that. But God talks to us while we're still in the womb, and actually we can hear. While we're going through the process of being born, God speaks to His children. That's why so many people who are not fully born of the water and Spirit can still do exploits for God. Because even before they come forth as completed work of God, what God has already done is so far beyond anything that's natural. They can speak words of faith and see the healing take place in a person's life that's needing healing. Amen. And they can believe and they can see. They can see things in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they are on their way to being born again. But while on the way of being born again, what's happening is happening as God is causing it to happen. An infant that's not born fully is still an infant. Hallelujah. And we're talking about a child of God. And when God is bringing it forth, I'm telling you, God's been able to cause a burning bush to talk. God's been able to cause a donkey to suddenly speak words and tell a prophet, you better stop right now. God doesn't want you to go past a certain point. I mean, a prophet of God riding on an animal, and the animal balks because the animal sees something the prophet can't see. Something standing there with a big old sword ready to whack somebody's head off. And the animal sees it. And the prophet says, giddy up! Get up! Come on, what's wrong with you? And the animal turned around and said, what's wrong with you? About that time, I think I'd jump off my horse and go running somewhere. The Word of God. The animal had more sense than the prophet of God at that point. I don't know if the prophet got up on the wrong side of the bed or what, but God can cause anything to be able to do great things beyond the realm of our thinking. And if He can cause a donkey to talk, and if He can cause a burning bush to talk, don't you think that He can't talk through a little child that's being in the process of new birth experience that God is bringing forth? How much more should He be able to take somebody that's believed on the Lord and use them in a mighty way to cause great things to happen for other people in the kingdom of God? Hallelujah! That's why we should not judge so much of who is and who's not really being touched by God and all these denominations and all these religions. We don't know.
We see the fruit of things happening. We cannot deny that miracles take place in churches that do not preach the truth that we know is true. And miracles take place among some evangelists. And we know that the evangelist himself is not really true. He's a crook. And you can tell just by the things he says and does. We know those things. But God knows whose are his. I know a man that got saved in a Billy Graham crusade. But the night he gave his life to God, he still had more to do. And I'm sure there are many people like this. But he went to the crusade. George Beverly Shea was singing, "Just As I Am," his song that he sang always at the time of invitation. And then the people started coming out of the bleachers and coming down to accept Christ as Savior and say their sinner's prayer. And my friend went down. For the first time in his life, he and his wife had decided, we're going to live for God. They had gone to this meeting because they'd tried so many things and done so many things and decided, we need to give God a chance in our lives. They didn't go there as a result of a debate trying to determine which religion is right. They went there because they were hungry for God. I'm telling you, if you show up anywhere hungry for God, God will meet you with food. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just because you receive something from God in a place that may not be completely in truth doesn't mean that that place is full of truth, but it means that you're sincere. And God will not let you down. It's still whosoever will. Including the pastor of that church, including the crusade evangelist, everybody there that's trying to do something for God, they all can come and be fully born again if they will. But as I said at the outset of all this, it's so easy to settle because it's such a great thing that God does. When He shows His love and His mercy and His tenderness and His kindness, and just at believing on Him can change a person so much from what they've been to something that's dear and precious. Many have testified, I don't do those things anymore, and I don't do that anymore. And to listen to them and watching, you would think, my, they've got it all. Because in their heart, they feel like they do. I mean, to go from not drinking anymore, not doping anymore, not running around anymore, and now going to church, taking the family, and standing up and testifying with tears in eyes, it looks good because it is good. It is good. But that doesn't mean that we need to leave off the rest of it. And it doesn't mean that we need to hold back and wonder, look, God can use anybody He wants to, including somebody that has just accepted Christ. Right. Accepting Christ is a big thing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Right. Especially when you've been rejecting Him all your life. When you've been going through life and just ignoring Him and rejecting Him, and somebody says, come on over here, accept Christ as your Savior, and you finally make a decision, I will! And when you've done that, your whole life changes. So much that many people think they're saved. And based on that feeling of being saved, they do great things because believing on God always gets results. Believing on God always gets results. The wonderful thing about it, though, while they believe on God, they also have a Bible in front of them. And people like us, that just kind of shake their worlds apart. Because while they're believing on God and trusting in God and praying to God, we come along saying, and you need to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. And they come up to this decision again. Hallelujah. I thought I was already saved. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think you're happy now. Wait till you get some more. Amen. You just got a little touch of something that's a whole lot more of. Praise God. Go on through repentance. Go on through baptism. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is not fighting talk. This is not debate talk. We're not here to start an argument. We're here to offer hope to those who are on the way to heaven. Hallelujah. Any start toward God is a start in the right direction. Amen. And except you be born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So my friend that went to the Billy Graham crusade, he and his wife held hands as they walked down the aisle. Tears in their eyes. Accepted Christ as their Savior, believed with all their heart, confessed that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again.
And they left there sincerely determined to serve God. Hallelujah. When you're sincerely determined to serve God, God is sincerely determined to serve you. Hallelujah. It's no accident that they left there and made friends with some Pentecostal Jesus name people. Somewhere in their pathway, there was somebody that was happy. Somebody that was full of joy. Here they were thinking, oh, we've changed so much and God has helped us and He's blessed us. And they were passing out tracts and showing people how they could be saved too. And they just happened to place a tract in a Jesus name preacher's hand. And that preacher said, you know, this is wonderful. He didn't argue with them. He didn't say, you got it all wrong. He didn't say, you're all messed up. This is terrible stuff you're handing out here. I mean, even on that track it said, sign right here, I confess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I know I'm a sinner. Sign right here and you will be saved. It said it right there on that. And they were sincere. Handed it to a Jesus name preacher. He looked at it and he said, this is wonderful. There are a lot of other words that could have been said, but he didn't say those words. Sometimes it's wise to not say everything that you think about. My first thoughts would be, when somebody hands me that, would say, my Lord, have mercy, to tell you can be saved like this? That's not going to work. Look, babies can only take so much. Go ahead and give them a little milk. Wait a little while. They need some teeth before they try to eat the steak. Go ahead and give them a little milk. A little milk could be, God loves you and He sees your sincere heart and He's brought you so far. Oh, how wonderful it is that you've made a decision for Christ. Could I be your friend? I want to know your story. I want to know where you're coming from. I want to know what God has done for you. Let's have dinner together. At that point in time for Brother and Sister Brand, my friends, that was the approach they had. It was not, hey, we got something at our church you don't have and you need it. Why don't you come over here and get the rest of the story? No, that's force feeding. You don't force feed babies. Hallelujah. They choke. You give them milk. You give them love. You give them gentleness. You give them care. If God saw fit to change their life at believing on Him, He is also calling on us to be changed to people that can be compassionate and merciful and patient and long-suffering to those that do believe on Him in order to help them come from where they are to where they can be. Hallelujah. 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 So this gentleman was nice to my friends. Invited him over to his home. You know, after you had lunch and after you've been in the person's home, you start feeling like these are my friends. And you start feeling a little more comfortable when they invite you somewhere else. Pretty soon he invited them to come and attend his church. Well, naturally, being new, trying to serve God, you're looking for a church to go to. Never had it been an issue that there's this kind of church and there's that kind of church and Billy Graham is this and Oral Roberts is something else. None of that was going on. It was just, come visit our church. Well, by now, my friend liked this person. He and his wife enjoyed their company. And it was just a natural thing for them to go and visit that church. But when they got there, they walked in and they saw a difference that they hadn't noticed any place else they'd ever been. There was some love being manifested that was deeper, it seemed. And the handshakes and the look in the eye and the appreciation that they were there. Because like pastor many times, like saints, their pastor was long-suffering, gentle, and kind, and patient. And so were the people in that church. We're so glad to have you here. Oh, enjoy it with us. Enjoy it with us. It's so good to know that God has blessed you. And God has changed you. And they were seated in that church. Nobody told them they were sinners. Nobody told them they still needed to get baptized in Jesus' name yet. But the testimonies came forth. People started saying, I thank God. I just thank God that I went into those waters of baptism in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. They didn't comprehend all that talk because they hadn't learned to talk like that yet. But it sure sounded good. It sure looked good. And pretty soon the preacher was preaching. And it was a sermon filled with love and compassion and reaching and just a little bit of baby food. Acts 2:38 food. Just enough that they took it and swallowed it. And said, one of them said, Brother Brand said, "You know what? I believe there's more that I need than what I've got." That's the key. When the person who is being born again comes to realization, I'm not there yet. But I like where I've come from. I like the point I've arrived to, but there's more for me. Show it to me. Feed it to me. Help me to get it down. I want all I can get from God. It's easy to persuade somebody who is being persuaded to go on and obey God, especially when it's right there in their own Bibles. Especially when it's right there. Because this is good for us. It's good for us. Problem we have many times when we get them to this point, we need to go as far as we can with them because as soon as they get out the door, there's going to be 5,000 devils trying to tell them, don't go any further. And most of them will claim to be Christians who are out for their good. But praise God, some babies make it. Brother Brand was one of them, he and his wife. They talked a little bit after church, came back to church. Both of them got down. Both of these believers got down on their knees, went to the altar. They didn't go to the altar as sinners now. They went to the altar as believers who had received something from God. Not all that was available, but something that caused them to come from where they had been in the nightclubs to now desiring to be in church. And they got down on their knees as believers. They had already told God they were sorry for their sins. But now they were believing that God is able to wash away your sins. Because other friends have been telling them, you got to live in your sins. But they're hearing something different. God is able to set us free from sins. Through the blood of Jesus. The very blood that they had already received into their lives. Through this precious blood, God is able to wash away your sins. Sure, we know we're sinners. But God is able to bury those sins. And when they received that revelation, what was happening is, they were being born again. And their eyes were being opened. Their eyes were being opened. They were starting to see the kingdom of God. Starting to see the kingdom of God. And when they went down into that water of baptism in the name of Jesus, both of them came out speaking in tongues. Why? Because they were believers. And not only they believed, but they were willing to do what the Word says to do. And when they did their part, God did His part. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. For God so loved the world. I'm quitting. Let's stand. I didn't know it was 20 after. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. If God didn't send Jesus Christ to the world to condemn the world, who are we to go around condemning people? He didn't send us to condemn the world either. Hallelujah. The world's already condemned. He sent us with a message of hope, just as He sent Jesus with a message of hope. He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through Him, might be saved. Hallelujah. That example has been passed on to us. Let's try to be somebody that the world around us, through us, can find salvation. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. So there is something going on, a supernatural experience at believing. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But we know we cannot stop at just believing. But thank God for the miracle that takes place at believing. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Amen. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Amen. Verse 21, he that doeth truth, everybody say doeth. That means you do something. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we do have to do something. The Word teaches whatever you do, in word or in deed. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Amen. When you repent, are you doing something? Are you saying something? Are you doing something? When you get baptized, are you doing something? Are you saying something? The Bible says whatever. Everybody say whatever. Does that include baptism? Whatever you do, in word or in deed, when you're baptized, are you part of whatever you do? In word or in deed? If that is so, if it's saying to us, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you saying something at baptism? Are you doing something at baptism? Then it must be done in Jesus' name. Now that can be received by a believer. If the one who is giving the information is a good receiver. Let me say that again while we come around the front. God has given us of Himself compassion, love, grace, mercy, tenderness, kindness. And He says, freely you have received, freely give. And that doesn't mean, now I know some stuff you don't know, and I have some things that you don't have, and bless God, I'm going to blast you till you get it. It means the same mercy of God that brought us to the kingdom of God has been placed in us to bring others into the kingdom of God. We need to appreciate everybody that's calling on the name of the Lord. And everybody that's walking forward from where they've been. And if they don't find us, if they don't find God in our conversations, if they don't follow us to the house of God, don't blame it on them. Let's go back to the altar and find out what it is we need to do so they'll want to come to us like they came to Christ. Amen. Maybe there needs to be some healings in the multitude. Maybe there needs to be some food passed out to the multitude. Maybe there needs to be something going on in your life that will cause others to want to be around you. Now let's call on Jesus and praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we love You tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Help us to see revival. Have to experience the move of God in our own hearts and lives that would cause others to want to be a part of it. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Must be born again. Must be born again. Hallelujah. That's just as strong as thou. You must not eat of that tree. Plan of salvation for Adam was don't eat that tree. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. Hallelujah. The plan of salvation for Noah was get on the boat. Plan of salvation for the children of Israel as they were going through those early days before the New Testament was to offer up some sacrifices and confess to the priests and do the things according to the rules and the law. And what about the thief on the cross? Was he saved? He didn't get baptized in Jesus' name. When the thief on the cross said in his heart certain things from his heart to the one hanging beside him, he was talking to a priest and offering up a sacrifice at the same time. And you don't get a better priest than the one that was hanging beside him to confess your sins to. And he was still living under the law. The Holy Ghost had not yet been poured out. Baptism in Jesus' name was not yet available. And that thief on the cross was forgiven and invited into the kingdom, into paradise. But today, if you're a thief, you need to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, and receive the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't get any better said than what you just heard tonight. And the only way it'll become effective for you, like it was said, is if you'll start believing. And because it is the truth. And you'll only see it once you start turning with faith, believing God. And because it doesn't matter what our traditions have been in the past. What does matter is the truth that's there to be seen by everybody. And so I hope that you've received it tonight, whoever you are that have been listening. Because it's the simple, basic truth that anyone who believes in God can understand. My Lord. God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. Hallelujah. We thank you for the simplicity, Lord, that's in your word. And we pray, God, for all those who are turning to you with faith, that, God, their eyes will be opened. They will be born so they can see. Amen. So they can enter. Amen. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.